Welcome back to week two of Wish You Were Here. And if you didn't watch the first message, you may want to go back and watch it because it's kind of a setup for the rest of the messages in this series, but it's all about us living in the place that God's promised us. And last week, we looked at the four key promises that we see out of Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 is a pivotal chapter for the whole Bible because we see the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, have been in bondage and slavery for over 400 years in the land of Egypt, but God sends a deliverer in Moses, and he tells Moses, you need to go and you need to tell Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. And Moses, if you know the story, he goes, but then God gives him a message to send to the nation of Israel that is in slavery. And this is the message. It's Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says this, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This is the biggest promise, I firmly believe, in all of the Bible because it has implications not just for those slaves that God was saying, whoa, I said I would choose that I've chosen you and now I'm going to deliver you. I hear your cry. It has implications for us today. In fact, this passage of scripture is still celebrated today by Orthodox Jews and honestly Jews all over the world at Passover. And if we know as the Christian faith that Jesus symbolizes the Passover lamb and in effect became the sacrifice for our sins, wow, what power does this have for us? It's also interesting to note that Jesus himself celebrated Passover and read this passage of scripture probably at the Last Supper. Powerful stuff. And I can't imagine what that was like in that supper with Jesus where he's saying, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, yes, but out from under the yoke of sin. And that's what we talked about last week, that we can live in the promise of salvation, but we have to receive it. We have to turn from our sin, and we have to turn to Jesus. We have to allow him to bring healing to our soul. Like we have to let go of the pain of the consequences of sin that others have done to us, that we've done to ourselves. And we have to make a choice. We have to choose Jesus. I turn to you. That's the promise of salvation, that he says, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out. And we have to be willing to say, yes, you are. Here I am. And turn to him. That was last week, the promise of salvation. And here's the reality. That first promise, that's the easy one. Like it really is. Because it's a recognition, and it's a confession, and it's a commitment. In fact, Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation isn't a reward for the good things that we've done, so none of us can boast about it. In other words, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us recognizing that God is calling out to us and saying, here I am. I'll take you out from the brokenness of sin where you've been hurt and wounded by others and where you've done things that you know that you are shameful of. I can break that curse that leads to death and lead you to life. But this week, we're looking at the second declaration out of Exodus chapter 6, where we see him say, I will free you from being slaves to them. That is interesting, isn't it? And this is a little more complex because he first says, I will bring you out from under the yoke or the slavery, depending on the translation of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them. What in the world does that mean? I thought he said he was bringing them out of slavery, and now he's saying, I'm going to free you from being a slave? Because there's two types of slavery. Here's the first one. It's a practical, physical slavery where you are enslaved by a physical master. But there's also an internal slavery where our hearts are still living in the place of bondage, controlled by sin. And God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's saying, I'm going to bring you out from the yoke of the Egyptians, but I'm also going to free you from being a slave, having a slave mentality, having a mind that though they're physically, that God's saying, I'm going to take you to the place of promise. I can put you in the promised land, but you can still be living in your mind and in your heart and in your soul as a slave because you're living in the place of bondage. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of Christians live in that place. It is. Like, remember, we're three parts. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And the moment that we embrace the truth that God says, I'm here to deliver. I am here to bring you to a place of freedom, salvation. That first one, that salvation. That's a spiritual transformation. You know, you felt that tugging on your heart that like, yes, you're in sin, but Jesus paid the price. God's calling you out of that. But see, the second promise is the promise of deliverance. And you can look like you're delivered, but you can truly be living in bondage. You can go to church every week and say, I'm in the place of promise. Look at me. You can say that, but in your heart, there's areas where the enemy has a hook in your soul, and you keep going back to the place of sin, back to the place of bondage, because whether you like the pleasure or you're still guilty over the pain or you're racked with shame, either way that you can turn back to that thing, and it can look like you're in the place because you're in church, because you're serving, because you're giving, because you're in the community. You can raise your hands and worship, and you can say amen, but listen to me, you can still be in bondage because that's an internal thing that nobody's going to see. You can fake it on the outside, but it is only God who can deliver you from the hooks of the enemy in your soul on the inside. That's why God said, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves, because he needed to take them. He said, I'm taking you out of Egypt. And that was in a moment. That happened at the Red Sea when it parted and he took them out of Egypt, destroyed the enemy. But remember, it was a process and a journey. He took them out of Egypt in a moment, but it was a process and a journey for God to get Egypt out of them. And let me tell you, God can deliver you from a hard, difficult season, but you can still be living in that season on the inside. Maybe the financial crisis is over. Maybe the relational thing is over, but you still live with the woundings and the pains, and he wants to deliver you from the mindset and the hurts and the woundings. He wants to bring you to a place of deliverance and freedom. Body, physically, God has a place. God has a physical place for you. Let me tell you, that's why I'm as a pastor, I should be such an advocate for church. Listen, I understand that you're going, man, I'm uncomfortable. I get that. But let me tell you, there's a season that's coming that God's saying, you need to get back in church. You need to get back, because there is a place, there is a physical place that God has for you. Just like he called me and my wife to Lake Charles, that was a physical destination. God has a place for us because we are three parts. We are body, and he wants our body to be in the place that he has for us. We're soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. Man, and that is where God does so much delivering work, where our mindset is changed, where 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, like, you can be in the place that God has for you physically, but your heart's not there because of something that's going on. But he wants to bring healing to not just to your body and to your spirit and salvation, but into your soul, mind, will, and emotions. What does freedom look like? Like, how do I operate in freedom? Here's what freedom looks like. And three simple things. Here's the first one. It's victory over sin. Now, that doesn't mean that you will never in your life ever sin again. It means that you are walking above sin, and that when you do sin, it's in a moment, it's unintentional, you're not living in the place of choosing to perpetually reside in the place where you once were. You are moving on with the promise of God, and though you may mess up every now and then, you can know with certainty that God has delivered you, like you are walking in victory, like you've made the commitment, like you've said, yes, Lord, I know you have brought me out from bondage. And maybe occasionally you go back to that, but it's not the place that you live in. It's victory over sin. And as you continue further and further and further down the path that God has for you, those temporary forays back into sin become further and further and further apart, because you are able to know more and more and more of God's purpose and plan for you. It's victory over sin. I love what the Apostle Paul writes, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, that was foundational in the establishment and the solidification of the very first churches all through where we see not necessarily Israel, but in modern-day Turkey and in Greece and in Italy. It was the foothold of where the gospel came, like the truth, the good news of Jesus. Paul was responsible for that. And yet he writes this in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25. He says this. He says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for that, because I've felt that way many times. You probably have as well. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, I want to do what's right. But like, there's this pull and this struggle. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Have you ever felt that way? Like, there's this internal battle. I remember the story. I heard, I can't even remember who said it. The story, there was this old man, and he had two dogs, and he would bring them to the dog fights. He had a white dog, and he had a black dog. And there was a young man that had been following all of the fights all around the region, and he noticed a pattern. Like, the old man would bet on one of the dogs, and he was always right. And so finally, he goes up to the old man, and he says, I've just been noticing, like, you always know which dog's gonna win in the fight. How do you know when these two dogs are fighting, how do you know which one's going to win? And he says, it's really easy. It's whichever one I feed that day. If we're going to operate in victory over sin, we have to know where our source of life and strength comes from. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. I love that Paul writes that. I'm battling, I'm struggling between the good and the bad, Lord, that sin that I don't want to go back to over here. I want to keep walking on the path that I'm miserable. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, love verse 25, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our source of life. He's our source of strength. Am I spending time in Him, His presence, and letting Him fill me up? Listen, when you are full of the Spirit of God, you are not going to give in to the temptation of that sin, because you recognize that's an emptiness that you want. You want that, like, empty from sin, because you're full of the Spirit of God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So what are we to do with our sinful nature? How do we have victory over sin? Well, we have to take that old sin nature and realize that it's crucified with Christ. Like that commitment that we talked about last week in the salvation, it's really saying my old life is gone and dead. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's Galatians 2:20. How do we live in victory over sin? we allow that old sinful nature to stay dead. I remember as a kid, my mom got me a Petra album because she wanted me to listen to Christian music rather than Metallica and Anthrax and Megadeth. Good mom. And I remember I was so excited because she got me Petra, and I saw that one of the titles to the song was Killing My Old Man. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, that's right. And then I listened to the song and realized it was all about putting to death that old man that wants what it wants and embracing Jesus. And in that is victory over sin. The second thing, what freedom looks like, healing from wounds. What wounds? The wounds of sin. That sin that I've committed, that I know that I've hurt others, or I've done things that are shameful and wrong. And we talked about this last week, that really that freedom of not living in the mindset of shame or guilt or fear, because now I'm shameful because I've done these things, or I'm hurt and wounded, so that's somebody else's sin affecting me. So I end up in this cycle of shame or fear that somebody's going to hurt me again. And whether it's shame or fear, we end up in the place where we feel like we have to control things. In other words, we're going to make sure that nobody can ever hurt me again, or we're going to make sure that nobody can ever see who I really have been. That's wounding, whether our sin or somebody else's. And we have to be willing to receive the truth of who we are and what Jesus has done for us, and to know that we are forgiven and that we can freely forgive other people. The scriptures, Revelation 21:5, where Jesus sits on the throne. We're talking at the very end of Revelation, where we see that Jesus has won, that the God of all light and life has vanquished the enemy. And Jesus says this in Revelation 21:5. He says, "Behold, he who sits on the throne says, or he who sits on the throne says, behold, I have made all things new." And my prayer for you is that when you read Exodus 6, the Lord will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's a salvation moment where you're not living in bondage to sin, but I will free you from being slaves. That you live in victory from sin, yes. That old man stays dead, crucified with Jesus. It's him living through you. But that you walk in healing from those wounds, and that you don't operate in shame. You don't operate in fear, but you have faith that Jesus has breathed life into you, and that he said, hey, that wound where that dart stuck you, where they did that to you, they were operating out of their wounding, but let me bring healing to you. You let him take it out, let it go. Same with your sin. Take it out. No more shame. Let it go. That's the old man. Healing from wounds. This is what freedom looks like. Victory over sin. Healing from wounds. And here's the third thing, authority over the enemy. Listen, you don't have to make bad choices to mess up your life, like because the enemy has a plan to use other people to mess up your life or whatever circumstances that he can. And I don't want to see patterns of devastation and destruction operate in your life, where we see patterns and curses where the enemy has set up shop, and he just bam, 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 that you embrace the promises of God and you step out in faith, recognizing that he's given you authority over the enemy. Look at Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we're not fighting against a flesh and blood enemies. Let me remind you that people are not your enemy. People are used by the enemy to wound you and to hurt you and to bring devastation and destruction, but there's something behind that. That's why Jesus on the cross prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. But I'm going to go to Romans 8, because here's the authority that we have, that there's no condemnation. Like, there's an enemy who wants to bring it and use sin from other people or our own sin to mess us up and keep us in the place of wounding and the place of death and sin. But there is no condemnation, Romans 8, 1 and 2. This is another promise you ought to hold on to. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, look at this authority, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. When the Spirit of God is living inside you, when your life is transformed because of Jesus, you don't have to walk in the bondage of sin. You've been set free. You've been saved from that. But you can walk in deliverance from that. That wounding, that sin doesn't have to haunt you and rack you, because Jesus has given us authority over sin. He broke it. It's not your authority. It's His. But when we live by His Spirit, it breaks the bondage of the enemy. Look at Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who were dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who were controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. We are called to live a life that is led by the very Spirit of God. It begins the moment that we hear God's voice saying, I'm the Lord. I'm going to bring you out from the bondage of sin. Oh, I'm also going to free you from that mentality, that mindset of a slave. You are not a slave. You are no longer in bondage. You don't have to wear the scars of slavery. You don't have to walk around with the knives of the enemy in your back, with the darts of those that have come against you in your soul. I'll deliver you, but you've got to live by my Spirit. You allow Him to come in and remove those things. The Spirit-filled life is one of life and peace. But it only comes when you open your heart. You may have been saved from the bondage of sin, but are you still living in the place of pain? Are you still living in the place of rejection and wounding? Are you still living in the place where you feel like you're missing something? That's a sin mentality. That's a sin-rooted mentality. A faith-rooted mentality says, I am who God has created me to be. You'll never get there until you again empty yourself and allow His Holy Spirit to fill you up. Here's the thing. You need people in that. So I'm going to pray for you, because maybe you've been saved from the bondage of sin. You've made that commitment, but maybe you've been walking in patterns of death. Maybe it's financial death, relational death, like everything you touch dies. That's not what God has for you. And you need to hear Him when He says, I'm going to free you from that mindset, from being a slave. So if that's you, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that I can hear your voice and you've called me out. You've delivered me from slavery. But Lord, I just pray that you change my heart, my mind, my soul. That I can believe the promise that you deliver me from the darkness of this world. That Lord, I can walk in your light, that you light the path for me. Psalms 101:5, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That you light my path, and that I trust you. Where the enemy wants to come in darkness and depression, rejection, failure, that Jesus, I know that you're bringing me to life, and it's no longer me living, but you living in me and through me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if that's you and you prayed that, let us know. You need to get connected. Get connected with God's purpose. That always involves people, because remember, you're going to think like the people around you. So I want you to have godly relationships and get connected. So let us know what's going on so that I can connect you with relationships and resources to help you grow. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.